Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining today's webinar on protecting brand value through SAP Security. My name is Angelica Cubill, and I'll be managing today's session. Before we get started, I have some housekeeping notes. First, I want to point out the questions module within the ON24 platform. We welcome you to enter your questions at any point during the presentation, and if time allows, we will answer whatever questions we can at the end of the session. You can always adjust the size of the media player to make it bigger or smaller, depending on your preference. Finally, please note that this session is being recorded, and we'll share a link to this session after we wrap up today. Now I'm going to pass it over to our presenter. With us today, we have Paula Liaudanski, sorry, who will be sharing critical insights on SAP Security for luxury organizations. He will be diving deep into the evolving threat landscape, the business impact of SAP breaches on brand reputation and client trust, and practical steps you can take to strengthen your security posture while protecting the operational precision that defines your organization. With that, I'll hand it over to Paul.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the introduction. I appreciate doing the housekeeping with everybody joining us here today. I'm very excited to be able to talk about passions that I have around relationships, passions that I have around demonstrating and translating those relationships in a secure way, especially when it comes to doing things with customers in an online world. So it's my joy to be able to talk to you about protecting brand value, an executive threat briefing on SAP Security. A little bit about myself. So as I said, I love relationships. I think that that is so important to anything that we do out there in the world, whether through personal connections or through business connections or through managing brand. Part of what I do and my team does here at the Onapsis Research Labs is we take a look at the threats out there targeting SAP. We try to understand those threats and make sure that we address those threats working with SAP so that when the attackers try to find them themselves, the reality is that we were able to get them patched working with SAP, a fantastic partner in this journey. There's a lot of other things that I am familiar with and have experience in, as you could see here. All those things are really tied to fundamentally relationships, because relationships matter. If in order to build trust, you have to show up each and every day, personal and in business, as someone or a business that is trustworthy. And that's the journey that I'm going to take you on here during this presentation. It's about demonstrating how attackers understand the importance of a relationship. They understand what that relationship means out there in the business marketplace, and how to leverage that relationship to try and get what they want, which ultimately is data or finance, money. We'll go ahead and dive into that. First, a little bit about the Onapsis Research Labs, more than I've mentioned. We've been around for quite a while. We are the preeminent company out there, the preeminent labs when it comes to doing vulnerability research into SAP. We do a lot more things than research into SAP and ERP. We do professional services with black box, gray box, and white box penetration testing. So we are that third party, so to speak, that could come in and pressure test systems to make sure that they are safe and secure before attackers have a chance to step in and potentially breach a company, which is a lot of what we've seen in 2025. We partner with SAP Product Security Response Team. We partner with CISA. We partner with BSI over a lot of the research that we do and a lot of the attacks that we see in our global threat intel network. Throughout the lifetime of the labs, we've had over 1,000 zero days discovered, 6 U.S. CISA critical alerts. We've got lots of knowledge base articles, a lot of information that ultimately leads to us sharing that with our customers in the Onapsis platform, as well as, again, working with partners like SAP. Probably the biggest relationship factor that I want to point out is a few years ago when we would present at some of these conferences listed here, Black Hat, DEF CON, Troopers, especially Black Hat and DEF CON, people in the audience didn't really understand what SAP was, but that's changed. So even in the audience, everyone seems to be aware of what SAP is, what SAP manages, and understands that the data that SAP works with is a business critical asset to any company. Okay, this slide, SAP is the digital nervous system of your maison. I've had to think about this a little bit, and this slide really stood out to me in terms of relationships, right? So when we take a look at the supply chain, when we take a look at the client registry, when we take a look at the retail operations and the market integrity, that's all about protecting the product. When we see SAP as the digital nervous system of your maison, it's protecting the product, protecting your clientele. It's protecting the experience of your clientele, right? Whether they go into those boutique networks, whether they go into the e-commerce platforms. We really want to ensure that as an organization, we're able to protect that shopping experience. It's important. That brand relationship is so important for consumers. And that's the last part, right? The market integrity. It's all about protecting the brand. So it's important for us to make sure that you get the best out of SAP security and SAP threat intelligence in order to apply it and maintain and curate and nourish the protection of the product, the protection of the clientele, especially the high value net worth customers, protecting the experience that people have with your brands and protecting, again, the brand itself. One primary note here, the bottom part, right? It's the threat actors understand this. They're targeting it. And not only do people at these conferences now know what SAP is, the threat actors do as well. We actually have research into the threat actor dark marketplace, the deep and dark forums. It's called the Chatter Report. That's something that you can access off of Onapsis.com. That's something that you can look at from an on-demand webinar. We dive into that world and explore how these threat actors are becoming aware of SAP and how they're getting infiltrated into companies to be able to deploy ransomware in environments that have SAP. Here's our agenda. So we're going to talk about why SAP security is brand security. Kind of talked about that a little bit here. The 2025 vulnerability landscape. We're going to look at how 2025 has been an epic year for SAP. The new threat actors targeting luxury, the anatomy of real SAP breaches, and luxury specific business impact. And finally, we'll have a roadmap to resilience with assess, control, and defend. Those are components of the Onapsis platform. And we, the Onapsis Research Labs, we're the tip of the spear. So the work that we do gets fed directly into that, where OP, Onapsis platform, has information based off of our global threat intel network, the threat intel, which we vet, we curate, make sure it's high quality, as well as the information that we get when we're working on vulnerabilities and we're working with SAP to patch them. Okay, so it's a different type of risk for luxury when it comes to SAP vulnerabilities. We need to understand SAP is changing, right? From one perspective, there's the on-prem, there's the journey to RISE in the cloud. In any case, whether it's on-prem, RISE with cloud, or if it's hybrid, there's always going to be a component for responsibility by the client, right? In on-prem, you have to kind of manage everything, the host, the network, the firewalls, SAP itself, the whole supply chain, right? And RISE with SAP, there's still components. You still have to have skin in the game for protecting SAP. And then the hybrid piece, right? You got to worry about the integrations. You got to worry about the configurations. However, with that said, some of the things that we've seen and some of the things that we protect and test in pen test environments are where, for instance, attackers can come into SAP and find a low privileged user. They can gain entry into that low privileged user, and then they can go ahead and escalate from that low privileged account. They can access full admin privileges. They can bypass existing SOD and access controls. And we found that there might not be any activity, any logging of that activity. So once that happens, and these threat actors can reach these full admin privileges, that can lead to exposure of client data. Ultra high net worth customers. That's the experience we're trying to protect. That's the brand. That's the trust that I spoke about, right? When we show up being able to be trusted every day, that continues the legacy of brands being able to be trusted. No matter where we are in a journey in technology or modernization, we want to protect those private purchase histories. The lists, we don't want them leaking, right? We don't want any of that information going out there. So that's possible in an environment that is not being protected for SAP, that's not being monitored, right? Things can happen, sadly, and the company may not even realize it. And that's why we're here today, to talk about these things. Now, that breach of client discretion can absolutely lead to brand liability. It can lead to brand damage. It can lead to regulatory damage. The brand mystique can be permanently eroded. That trust that took so long and so hard to build throughout the years, throughout the decades, that can be lost. And we don't want that to happen to anybody, which is why we do, me and my team, we do what we do, because we're very passionate. We want to make the internet a safe place. We want to make companies a safe place. We do that through demonstrating our efforts within SAP security. Let's keep the trust. Let's keep the integrity of the data, and we'll walk through what that looks like. There's a risk calculation. It's risk equals the probability times the impact, and that will give you your risk score. Now, you can define what your appetite is for a risk score, what you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with, but the important thing is to understand the threat landscape, to understand your environment, to understand if you have vulnerability management program or processes in place, as well as monitoring. You want to make sure that SAP is integrated into your existing secure information security processes. You want to make sure that you are taking a look at and understanding what the attack vectors look like, who the threat actors are that are targeting SAP. You want to understand the manual as well as the automated SAP vulnerabilities that can be exploited, and understand what it is that these threat actors are going after. We'll double click on those. Also, we want to talk about the impact, right? The impact can be chaotic, it can be epic, and it can be damaging. So prior to 2025, when I've done threat briefings, I've often been asked the question, well, what's the real impact? Onapsis Research Labs, we do respond to incidents. We do respond to breaches. We can't talk about those. Those are confidential. However, 2025 was a game changer. And in 2025, we are seeing public announcements of companies that have been breached. Prior to 2025, I would not have used the following phrase, but as of 2025, those public breaches, those public incidents, those public bankruptcies, they become a cautionary tale. And so all of a sudden, that adds more depth, and that increases and adds to the passion that we have to make sure we disseminate timely threat intelligence to everybody, because we don't want people to be an example of a cautionary tale. It's not a good place to be. And in some of these instances, the breaches themselves are still felt in a long tail, which is remarkable in this day and age. Okay, let's go ahead into the vulnerabilities in 2025. It was hands down the most epic year in SAP's history. We saw a big increase in vulnerabilities, and the emergence of the deserialization attack as the number one critical threat. We have a little snapshot here of November, and November was a pretty big deal because it led to the CVSS 10 score here at the top, the security hardening for insecure deserialization in SAP NetWeaver AS Java. So this Java deserialization attack, this big zero day, it's the CVE 2025-31324. That was the first CVE that acknowledged this zero day and attempted to patch the zero day. And in that, the attackers were able to successfully compromise hundreds of companies. We worked with incident response companies. We worked directly with customers when they've been breached by this zero day. It was a pretty big deal, and it is so sophisticated. And it was closed. It was being leveraged by nation state actors from Russia and from China. But ultimately, there's been a couple of releases of patches, this being one of them that we worked intimately with SAP to make sure that the root cause of this zero day was being addressed. A little snapshot, a little bit of a chart going back throughout the years. We could see 2025 is that big milestone spike. And in 25, my research labs discovered 44% of all critical hot news SAP vulnerabilities for the year. Got a great team. I love my team. I love what we do. We have a lot of fun. We've got a lot of teamwork, transparency, camaraderie, and it's great where we can get together and do the things that we love, and the output of that comes straight to you. So this slide, I like to bring up this slide because it does talk about CWE, or Common Weakness Enumeration. If we take a look over the past few years, we'll notice that some of the weaknesses have increased, some have shifted. So these weaknesses are weaknesses in the software, right? Like missing authorization. So 2022 and 2023, it was number two, but in the last couple of years, it rose up to number one. And that means that there might be some code that is not doing an authorization check. And it might be there is no authorization. And so anyone, even with a low privileged user role, can come in and run an injection attack against your SAP that can then essentially do bad things. And we don't want that. But we can see what's been the focus of these patches over the last 4 years. Cross-site scripting, it was number one in 2023, and it started to come down a little bit. So it's good context to keep in mind. When we take a look at 2025 overall for the SAP security notes, we have over 200 new and updated notes. We have well over 25 hot news, 42 high priority notes, average of 3+ per month. And then we kind of break that down. The most patched components and vulnerability type, SAP NetWeaver. There we go. We see the deserialization and the authorization checks. The S/4HANA, the solution manager, the business objects, the SAP commerce, cross-site scripting, third party even like Tomcat. And our contribution, we see that, right? We love that we're so embedded in with SAP that we work with finding these hot news and getting them patched before it gives the attackers the ability to find it themselves, right? The best that we can do is to keep doing that what we're doing and to remove the capabilities that the attackers might have. Now, we're going to get into the big epic discussion about deserialization. So, what exactly is deserialization? It's taking data that's formatted in one way, putting it into another type of format so that it can be transmitted and worked with computers, and then being able to reconstruct it back. But in that reconstruction, in that serialization and then deserialization, that's where this bug, this exploitation was used by these advanced attackers, these nation state actors. It led to being able to do a couple of different paths. One path was to be able to drop a web shell through the initial entry point, which was the metadata uploader entry point. The other path was to be able to execute remote code execution. The interesting thing here is that when we spotted this, we started to look for other endpoints, which is where that number comes in when we take a look at the numbers, the 8 total deserializations, the 7 criticals, the 3 with CVSS-10, the maximum severity that a vulnerability can have. And all of them are HTTP exploitable, and they didn't have to be authenticated. They were all discovered by the Onapsis Research Labs. So what that means is that there's a lot of different ways that attackers could come into SAP through different applications, through different HTTP locations, but still deliver the same underlying root cause deserialization attack. And it's that root cause deserialization attack that was very hard for companies and incident responders to find, because that deserialization attack doesn't leave a fingerprint on the system. It doesn't leave an artifact. What is left after the deserialization attack is successful is like that web shell. So when this first got reported, it got reported as, hey, metadata uploader is the endpoint that is being attacked, and look at the artifact is a web shell. So that can lead to a false sense of security because it didn't lead to understanding that there was actually another format of the attack, which is the remote code execution, which may not lead to any artifacts or any evidence like a file, like a web shell. Okay. Web application vulnerabilities, the persistent attack surface. So one of the most important things here to understand that when SAP is transitioning to web-based interfaces like Fiori, Commerce, Business Objects, this has expanded the web attack surface significantly. And that opens up the cross-site scripting. That opens up the SSRF. That opens up clickjacking, open redirects. There's a lot more to manage. How do you make sense of all that? That's where the intelligence comes into play. It's important to be able to understand the significance of these vulnerabilities and to be able to help prioritize how important which ones are to be patched and addressed in a timely manner in your environment. Okay, the new threat landscape for SAP. So for many years, Onapsis, SAP, CISA, we've been communicating to the broader audience that threat actors are targeting SAP. Again, during our presentations at some of these conferences, SAP at that time was not well known. But it is now. And we discovered that in our chatter report, where threat actors were threat actors being across a wide spectrum from the quote unquote script kiddies who do not have the capability or the understanding to craft their own exploits of the vulnerabilities to advanced threat actors that can. As well as nation state actors that are well funded and well supported and protected. Chatter reveals that, and 2025 demonstrates on a global scale the havoc that they started to cause. So there is no going back, right? It's here, it's now. It doesn't matter if your SAP is exposed publicly or not, because these threat actors, they're the same ones that come from outside the SAP world. These advanced threat actors know how to compromise IoTs. They know how to compromise zero-day in firewalls. They already know and are highly successful to get into business enterprise environments. And once they're there, if they see SAP and it's not publicly exposed, if SAP is not being managed, if it's not being monitored, we see them attacking SAP and deploying ransomware, holding companies to ransom, because they know now that SAP manages business critical assets. Okay. I always love bringing up all the columns at once on this one. I mentioned chatter, where we did research in the underground. I mentioned a little bit about our global threat intel network. Our global threat intel network, we monitor that daily, weekly, monthly views. We look at what is currently under attack and what is currently being exploited. So some of this information comes from the research that we've done in the underground, as well as the information that comes from our global threat intel network and information that we get from working with customers. In particular, I want to start off with the MTrends report for 2026 states that the most frequently exploited vulnerabilities last year, top of the list, SAP NetWeaver. This 2025-31324, this Java deserialization attack that took down hundreds of companies. Then we see another ERP, Oracle E-Business Suite, followed by Microsoft SharePoint. So this is another objective party, well-known from their own data that shows 2025 was a banner year. SAP has done fantastic being able to understand what the attacks are and to be able to patch those attacks. So make sure you are patching. Patch, patch, patch. I'm probably going to write a song about that. Maybe you'll hear it one day. In our data, we've seen over the past few years the attacks on SAP applications leveraging ransomware grow over 400%. We've seen when security notes get released that threat actors are exploiting them in less than 72 hours. We see the cost for black market prices for SAP exploits increase 400%. And when new systems are released and they're not protected, that they are discovered and compromised in less than 3 hours. And of course, all of this is making news. You know, in prior years, it might not have, but it is now. It is something that not only security professionals are aware of and threat actors are aware of, the press is highly tuned into this now as well. And that is probably one of the things that we don't want from a trust and brand management perspective. So what can we ensure? What can we do to make sure that you don't become a cautionary tale? Here's some of the threat actor groups. If I presented on this a couple years ago, this list would be shorter, but it's not. It's grown. And it's grown with advanced threat actors. It's grown with nation state actors, with ransomware groups. They're motivated. They're motivated to come after SAP. They want to exploit the payment systems. They are exfiltrating financial systems and statements. They're pivoting. A lot of these advanced groups, they do have that knowledge and capability for supply chain, for software outside of SAP. They've simply taken their expertise and their knowledge and their ability to adapt into the SAP landscape. Shiny Hunters, which was just on there, one of the last ones. I'm going to talk about them because they are an important threat actor group to mention here as it comes to 31324, the big zero day. First, let's talk about the CISA KEV catalog. It's the known exploited vulnerabilities catalog. CISA maintains this list independently. They confirm that there are CVEs that are under active attack and exploitation. Some of these, I believe, even have a confirmation that they're being used for ransomware campaigns. You can visit CISA KEV catalog and verify these yourselves too, which is fantastic. We love the scientific method. We love anybody being able to go and verify information. And this slide, you can certainly do that both with the table as well as the chart. The chart is looking at the Shadow Server Foundation's information. They keep a global sensor network where they monitor what CVEs are under attack. And so with the Shadow Server site, what we did was we pivoted on SAP and we took a look as to what their sensors were observing in 2025. You can see here under the August 2025, this peak, that is directly related, that blue is directly related to 31324. Prior to that spike, there were two groups, the China-based and Russia-based groups that had and were exploiting the 31324. Once August came around, Shiny Hunters released that exploit to the public, and that had a cascading effect. A lot of other of these CVEs were being picked up and observed as they were being used to attack these sensors that Shadow Server maintains. Of course, we've seen similar. We like to pull in, you know, other independent authorities to help validate and confirm, right? It makes sense. We all live together in this global marketplace, this global commerce, and it's good to share that information and to get double checks. The other important thing that I want to mention is that in the CISA KEV catalog, a lot of these were found by the Onapsis Research Labs, and that led into very fast pickup by the Onapsis platform. So we're able to help our customers very quickly because we have the research team that finds these. The value of exploits, they've gone up. It is mind-boggling that someone is looking for $250,000 for an exploit targeting SAP, remote code execution. Wow. If there's anything out there that tells you the threat actors are serious, this is it. Let's put aside the fact that hundreds of companies were compromised. The fact that there's prices at these levels is nuts. We have a couple snapshots here. There's a snapshot here of an exploit in the dark market. SAP secure storage to find credentials, escalate privileges, and eventually compromise another SAP system behind the first target. Please be mindful. The threat is real. The threat is live. The threat is now. Mandiant also provided a time to exploit trends affecting business applications. The key takeaways here, like we've seen in our own global threat intel network, is that the time to exploit does continue to decrease. So threat actors are getting faster and faster to be able to exploit the vulnerabilities. And more importantly, older vulnerabilities are still a target. Let me go back to this prior slide. We'll notice that bottom one, CVE 2010. Yes, we see that still under attack today. So that leaves me to believe we have businesses out there that are not running a vulnerability management program, sadly, until after they get breached. We don't want that to happen, which is why we do these webinars. And in the case of Recon, which is what we discovered and was one of the critical alerts CISA issued, we see active exploitation in less than 72 hours after the patch was released. Okay, the cautionary tale. We don't want anyone to end up as a cautionary tale. Here, we have a large beverage manufacturing company that actually filed in court records, which you can do a search. You can find the court records yourselves. These snapshots on the left, they're actual snapshots of the court filings, where the CEO was filing for bankruptcy protection due to an SAP security breach. We don't want SAP going down during Fashion Week or the holiday season. You know, that can mess with client orders not being processed. Financial reporting becomes impossible. It's not only an incident, it becomes a brand crisis, right? It's going back to that relationship. Fundamentally, we want to maintain the integrity of that product, of the brand, and of the relationship. Hundreds of companies compromised. Here's a brief little timeline. We've talked a little bit about this. One thing I want to highlight and emphasize is that we were the only company on the planet that captured the actual attack. So when we understood that this was happening, we dove into that attack. We reverse engineered it. We understood that there was a gadget chain involved. And we discovered that it wasn't only dropping of a web shell, that it was actually having a payload that you can run remote code execution. So once we started to deconstruct this attack, we partnered very quickly and closely with SAP, not only to patch the other endpoints that we had found, but to help them understand the root cause. please understand that if anyone who delivers a product doesn't understand what the root cause is, it can step into a whack-a-mole situation where an endpoint pops up that's being used to leverage the root cause. You close down that endpoint, but then there's other endpoints that can be found. So that continues to address each and every endpoint as they're discovered, but it does not underline the root cause. Our work led to being able to understand the root cause for SAP and for SAP to issue the patch. As a matter of fact, if you go to SAP's website and you look up the credits to researchers for 2025, big thank you and much love and gratitude to SAP for giving us a wonderful shout out, wonderful credit for our partnership together on this epic 313240 day. Love that we can work together. Timeline for this attack, the 31324. So the initial probes were observed at the beginning of 2025. And when this first started to get announced, the thought was that this was the metadata uploader. But from start to about August, it was observed as being used by China-based threat actors as well as Russia-based threat actors. Very limited group. And of course, we had it, but our goal was to make sure we understood it and worked with SAP to get it patched. Then, of course, come August, we see Shiny Hunters releasing it. Now, as we see, August 15th, released on the Shiny Hunters Telegram by Shiny Hunters, they released a fully functional exploit. It supports both modes, direct remote code execution, as well as the web shell deployment. And it also supported the two latest versions of NetWeaver, 7.5 and 7.4. It does have a sophisticated post-exploitation, and it does make use of custom tooling. It very much targeted specific SAP assets. So there's a lot of deep understanding by these threat actors. They know what they're doing and they know what they're targeting. And all that's been released publicly. So when we talk about the chatter report and the big spectrum of attackers, those script kiddies, they could take this and do heavy damage. Let's go into the exploit details. We've got a couple of things here highlighted, like why so serial. That is a deserialization framework that the attackers are using in their exploit. And here's a snippet where they're looking at specific versions like 7.5. If it's 7.5, it executes a certain line of code. And then, of course, we see at the end, credits out to Shiny Hunters. And they're making some comments in there too, because that's what they do. But that is an example of a small little example of the exploit that was released by Shiny Hunters that anyone can access. Another cautionary tale. That exploit code that we just looked at briefly, snippets, Shiny Hunters. They're the ones that claimed responsibility for the attack and takedown of a global manufacturing company. This attack was so far-reaching, it drove the GDP down into negative territory. Tens of thousands of employees were furloughed. Companies in the supply chain went out of business. And as a matter of fact, it has a long tail. It's still reverberating to today, where I've met people that have the vehicles from this global manufacturing company that they're still waiting for safety components for their vehicles, which is mind-boggling. It not only impacted all of these businesses in the global economy for the UK, but it impacted consumers even into April because they're still not getting their safety products or components that go into the thing that they have from this manufacturing company. This is worst case scenario. This is a, I've been asked, can you show examples of the impact? This is, as well as the bankruptcy filing, these are the impacts that I can now talk about because they're very public. It has gone out of the hands of these companies, and I feel for them. I do. I've been an incident responder. It's tough. You set aside time with family. You set aside holidays, and you are up all night working the midnight oil to try and understand what's happening. So I feel for everybody there. I feel for anybody who gets an incident, especially a big breach. The thing, though, is that we can use this as a poignant reminder that anyone can be targeted. No one is safe. And there's things that we can do to prepare for it. This is from a Telegram channel. We look at Shodan. Shodan is another security entity out there that provides information on IPs. We can see that this was tied to, we've blocked it out, but this was tied to an SAP portal out in Coventry. And this is a snapshot of a threat actor group that has logged into a business operation and is showing information on one of the hosts within the enterprise. We see a lot of this in our chatter report. Let's get into the fundamental risks to luxury brand equity. A lot of what this says is bad things can happen. You know, we it's all about the relationship. It's about relationships internally where security practitioners take an objective view of the threat landscape. You work with your architects, you work with your security operations center, you work with your IT, you work with BASIS, you work with the business, you understand what the critical points are for your business. What are you doing to protect all of that? What are you doing to monitor for all that? Because if you don't, the heists can happen, right? You can have ghost inventories for counterfeiters entering the gray markets. You can have pricing manipulation. You can have disruption during peak season. Oh, we don't want disruption during fashion week or holidays. That can lead to tons of lost revenue and lasting damage for partnerships. Yeah, I can't say enough. There's been a lot of lessons learned over 2025 by a lot of companies. The data has been breached. We don't want ultra high net worth client registries breached. We want to protect that privacy. It's about that relationship. Compliance myths. There's the being able to do the compliance check, and then there's the security check, right? So you could potentially pass the compliance checks, but that doesn't make you really ready for security checks, security audits. It's important to understand that there's a distinction between the two, because a compliance check says, okay, you're doing the things that you need to do. This is the threshold. But we never want to maintain the threshold. We want to go the last mile. That is the last mile in where the threat actors reside. That's the place they know they have the best chance of getting through systems. That's the place that we want to make sure you are ready for real-time monitoring, that you have a continuous vulnerability management assessment program, aided and informed by curated quality threat intel. Please make sure that your SAP is integrated into existing SOCs and incident response, and that you have custom code and transports securely automated. This is fantastic for content dev teams that work as security practitioners. This is fantastic for incident responders because we can start to map what these attacks look like through the MITRE attack framework. So we could see here, whether through external, third party, or employee, that some of these TTPs are initial access, like valid accounts, default accounts, or exploit public facing applications, or it could be a spear phishing link or a trusted relationship, right? It could also be a valid account. But once that initial access is taken, it could lead to privilege escalation. We found a lot of vulnerabilities where that's possible. We've stepped into environments ourselves and pen tested and have been able to successfully escalate privilege. It's better to have us do it than an actual threat actor, because if it's us, we'll work with you to ensure you understand what the threat is in your environment and to get it protected, especially if you're not using an application that is informed by our threat intelligence like OnAPSIS platform. And that can lead to exfiltration of data, and the impact, yeah, it could be catastrophic. I'll kind of go through these here a little bit quicker, but you can see with a little bit more detail about initial access and their descriptions. This is something that you can absolutely verify on your own. You can go to MITRE ATT&CK. You could look up initial access. You could look at the techniques. You could look at the descriptions. Here's some for privilege escalation, lateral movement, persistence. You know, let's take a look at persistence. Once certain functionalities or authorizations have been achieved, attackers can create high privileged users with well-known powerful profiles, such as SAP-all. Threats there. Some more, some outcomes, right? The exfiltration, the impact. Ransomware incidents can affect SAP applications and includes the encryption of SAP information. And we see it. We see it happening with ALV, with Lockbit. We've seen the impact of financial theft. There was a company that had that CVE from 2010 be exploited, and they lost millions of dollars through payment systems. So it happens. Okay, let's get to some additional information here. We talk about challenges that do not go away in the shared responsibility model with RISE. There's components that SAP manages: the network, the infrastructure, the operating system, the database management. Yet there's still a whole lot that has to be owned by customers: the business data, the users, the configurations. Those are all important to continue to monitor. Please understand that it is shared, right? A shared security model. There's components that need to be handled by the customer. Now, we have a fantastic quote from SAP CISO. SAP delivers a highly secure and compliant cloud infrastructure, enabling customers to focus solely on securing their SAP applications and data. Going to RISE means you still need to maintain SAP security. We help streamline these areas of responsibilities under RISE. So you have access to me. You can reach out to me. We can have follow-up meetings on anything you like. Our work, our output goes right into an OnAPSIS platform. So if you want to have the feeling and the certainty and the trust, right? All goes back to trust. If you want to have the trust that we've got your back, OnAPSIS Research Labs, you can rest that in the lap of OnAPSIS platform. It's like having OnAPSIS Research Labs researchers there with you. On demand, around the clock, being able to assess your environment, be able to defend your environment. So that's really the one of the big takeaways, right? It's you have to manage SAP security under RISE, and we can be your partners too. Together, SAP and OnAPSIS provide enhanced security for RISE with SAP. That continues the quote from Roland, SAP's global CISO for SAP Enterprise Cloud Services in RISE. Oh, big thing here. We are the only SAP endorsed app on Onapsis platform. That's a huge one. We've put a lot of work and love and effort to be able to get there and to be able to earn SAP's trust. We understand trust. We understand brand. We understand relationships. I mentioned control, assess, and defend. Well, I actually didn't mention control, but I'll mention it now. Control is it scans for code, right? It helps with DevSecOps. Assess is your vulnerability management component, and defend is your security monitoring. So all of this comes together in a unified SAP application attack surface management. It's powered again by the Onapsis Research Labs, your ace up your sleeve, so to speak. Why this matters for a luxury conglomerate? In a multi-maison visibility, it provides a single platform view across SAP instances, every brand, every region, every deployment model under a unified attack surface management. It's powered by my team's threat intelligence. It's real time and it feeds right into the platform. We go back to that experience, to that relationship. It protects it. We're all about protecting you. We're all about protecting customers that use SAP. And it secures your digital transformation as you move to RISE or S/4HANA. Actions to take today. Know your attack surface. We've talked about that. Manage vulnerabilities with trusted and vetted threat intelligence. We've talked about that. As well as integrate SAP into your security programs. They're all important actions that you can take. If you have already done so, please give yourselves a round of applause. I am proud of you for doing that. And I'm proud of you for being able to get this far with me in this journey of relationships. Please do yourself a favor and you know, thank you. Appreciate you for being here with me on this journey. You can contact me anytime. I can be your partner. Here's some helpful resources, our GitHub. We have released open source tools for things like 31324, in addition to the protection that we have in the Onapsis platform. We have blogs. You can look at our threat research. And again, I'm available. You can find me on LinkedIn, Paul Ladansky. You can reach out to me here at Onapsis. I love what I do. I love our teams, and I love a chance to be able to meet you and to work with you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Paul, for those insights. We've received several questions, and I know there's a lot to unpack here. So let's just go for one right now and see because of the time constraints. But Paul, somebody asked, how do we convince our teams that monitoring is important if we've never been breached?
That's a really good question. And that's a question that I get all the time. In prior threat briefings, I've received that question. And my answer back then was, you gotta trust us. We've gone to incidents. We've been part of breaches, investigations and forensics. It's hard to believe that SAP is going to get targeted when people really didn't know about SAP outside of SAP, but 2025 changed everything. SAP is now infiltrated by those well-equipped, well-understood, very smart threat actor groups that have targeted everything outside of SAP and now have a focus on SAP. So, especially in the luxury brand, it is so important. Brand, the relationship, the customer journey and experience, that the best thing that we can do for ourselves to demonstrate a continued care and love for these relationships with the brand and with customers is to show that we still have that same fervor, that we apply that same fervor, that we apply that same passion as we do to the brand, that we do to SAP. Protecting SAP is protecting the brand. Protecting and monitoring, making sure that you understand what the attacks are as they're happening, to make sure you understand what the vulnerabilities and the patches are when they get patched, to help you prioritize them. That's applying the same zest and zeal that shows your commitment to the brand and to the experience, because SAP helps manage that brand. So not managing SAP in a secure practice, we've seen in 2025, exposes companies to a place where no one wants to be. And that's that cautionary tale. So please, my hope is that you depart from this presentation knowing that security practice and managing SAP is a relationship practice, is a brand protection management process. It's more than saying, oh, is there something going on over here? It's, we're protecting our brand. We're protecting the customer journey. And that means we absolutely have to protect some of the core foundational components of that, that being SAP.
All right. Thanks, Paul, so much. So we have to end our webinar for today. For any other questions in the chat, we will be reaching out to you individually to get those answered. Also, just a brief reminder to everyone listening that this session has been recorded and the link to the recording will be emailed to you. And with that, thanks again to our speaker, Paul, and to everyone for joining this briefing. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.